Welcome, After Buzzers. You are watching the after show for Altered Carbon, where tonight we discuss episodes 9 and 10, the last two episodes. We talk about what really happened to Lawrence Bancroft, A Lost Love Found, and Takeshi Kovacs' painful decision. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, Carbonites. We are back. We are down one man, one woman, but we're going to hold it down for you guys today.
That's right. We're holding it down.
Exactly. We got a lot to talk about, too, so it'll be a good one. As always, guys, my name is Shaka Smith.
Hey, guys. Nate Miller here.
And we are ready to go. This was an exciting two episodes.
Oh, yeah.
As I talked about the open, we find out what really happens to Lawrence Bancroft, and that's how they open episode 9. Rage in Heaven is we're back with Kovacs sitting at that bar talking to Poe, who's really not so happy with Kovacs at this point in time. What did you think of the overall episode? I guess maybe 9 and 10 together, but 9 specifically.
I thought it was good. I enjoyed the finale and how they both wrapped it up. I think it would be fair to consider these episodes one like long, almost two part episode. They kind of run right into each other, and a lot of the payoffs don't come until 10. But I enjoyed 9 a lot. It was a lot of story, and especially after 7 and 8, which threw a lot of twists in, it was a lot of kind of filling in the blanks.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of awesome action sequences.
Amazing action sequences.
Yeah.
9 and 10, I loved it because I felt like we got the payoff, but I still have so many questions for next season. Where it's like, you know, sometimes a show wraps up so perfectly, you're not really excited about the next season because you're like, where else do we go? But the sky's the limit in this world. I love that we have Ortega coming back in episode 9, but we find out it's not quite Ortega. I was a little bit creeped out by this entire scenario.
Yeah, I actually forgot when I was rewatching what happened, and for a second I was like, wait a minute, oh, right.
That's what it was. Yeah. Agreed, guys. Steve in the booth here. Yeah. When she mentioned, she was being bathed by by Kovacs, when she had mentioned that, I've been fighting your sister. Oh, that's what you've been doing. I was like, wait a minute. She mentioned a kid?
Yeah.
But she just went to save a kid who was...
Right.
Yeah.
I love that. I don't know if you caught that, but at the end of the episode...
Yeah.
So during the episode, when you see her, like, earlier when you see Kovacs, like, look at all of the clones, you see that girl. Yeah. It's the same girl that was at the museum.
Yeah.
But also at the end of when Ortega's fighting and she saves a little girl crying in the corner.
Her,
that's her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how she captured her.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, what I was confused about was the fact that she didn't just kill her right away. You know,
it's about if she just killed her right away, she wouldn't have the influence over
her brother.
Talk that she needed at that time.
Yeah, and I think we see, I guess, throughout both of these episodes, her whole tack, or I guess the way she goes about things, is holding over one thing over one person, and then using that to motivate them to do things for her.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you manipulate people when you have power.
Yeah, and she was maniacal in every sense of the word. But yeah, that was a bizarre scene. If you guys are in the chat, hopefully you guys are joining us, and we'll be sure to take a look at some of your questions and comments, or, you know, give us some corrections if we're wrong about stuff. we finally get Kovacs hatching this plan now to really take down this sort of place in the clouds. What did you think about his plan, and were you surprised by the twist that we got with two Kovacs here?
I mean, yeah, it was definitely not. I was surprised.
Yeah.
It was like a, whoa, what's going on? I didn't even think of that as a possibility of something for them to do.
Because they never even fleshed out like how you do it. Or,
right. But I thought it was a good plan. It was really smart for him to throw them off the trail. And the only way for him to get his sister to actually believe that he would do that is to actually do it.
I thought
it was really interesting. What about you?
Same. I completely thrown for a loop on that one, but it was brilliant, and I love seeing the interactions between I guess the new Kovacs and Raylene, which I really enjoyed, because you saw a difference there. And I like that she even picked up a little bit on it, because he wasn't sort of the emotional Kovacs that she thought he would be.
Right.
And so I love that whole twist. And we got some moments, some great moments with Lizzie in episode 9.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That were kind of, I mean, I want to say it was interesting because they're all throwaway moments because she doesn't make sense, but they give you a sense that somehow there's more out here in this world.
Yeah, rewatching it, a lot of the nonsense and stuff that she's saying, it makes sense. Everything, there's a reason for everything that's happened with her and her subplots. And I was so glad that how it turned around and paid off because she seemed like such an insignificant thing that they were spending so much time on. Yeah. That the fact that it turned out to be so important that she basically saved everybody.
And she's, I think they're setting, because I mean, a lot of it made sense, but I think there's, the part of it that doesn't make sense is a real great setup for season two, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll get more of Lizzie specifically. It is definitely interesting to think about this idea that she's not attached to a stack anymore. Yeah. And is she an AI now? Is she a person? What is she?
And she mentions that one of them will die. And so I have to think they're going to revisit this.
Well, he does die.
Kovacs?
Yeah.
So you think she might have meant one of them as in that could have sufficed for the death?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't think
she meant... Yeah.
Well, we might have to revisit this part of the conversation because I wonder now if we're talking about... Because I'm not convinced we know which Kovacs we get back, but we'll have to talk about that. At the very end, I'm not sure we know which Kovacs lives. You seem highly skeptical.
That's
there.
A good question. I don't know.
I don't think...
No, he says the one you said goodbye to.
What do you think is going to be most comforting to Ortega to hear? And what do you think they would both agree to let her know? I believe that they would both decide, let's just let her believe that it's the same one she's been dealing with the entire time.
Why would they lie, though? Just because...
I think it's an important relationship. And I think that they believe she would be more comforted knowing that that was the guy that she'd known this entire time.
But either way, it's the same guy. Because the only difference is it's just the guy who went on the trip. But... he only did that to save her. It's not like that was a different person who actually was motivated to not be in a relationship with her and run off with Miriam. It's still Kovacs.
But the original Kovacs is the one with Lizzie. And Lizzie says one of us dies. So one wonders. And there was one thing that I did notice. And
I think you're looking way too deep into that.
I don't know. I think I was right about. I think I was right about Chris Falconer.
I don't know. I also don't know about. That's not confirmed.
We have to go back to that. But in episode 9, of course, we do get the heartbreaking scene.
Why would she back up? Why would Raylene back up Kel's stack?
Because she knew that would be something she'd have over Kovacs. I think every move she made was about having leverage over other people. So it wasn't about doing it to help anybody, but just doing it for leverage.
I don't think at that point...
I think she's always wanted leverage. I think at that point, she's not quite insane, but she was obviously like, I want to have the word here. We always do what you want to do. I'm finally going to make some choices here. So I think that's the beginning of her mania.
Interesting.
You seem like you're going through the motions here.
No, I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. But we have to go back to that scene with Ghost Walker. And I think, obviously, this really typifies that mania of Raylene, of wanting, you know, blood in, blood out, or, you know, if someone causes my family pain, I'm going to make sure, you know, tenfold.
Right.
That was a heartbreaking scene. What did you think about, I guess, how that set up the rest of the episode?
Interesting. It definitely set a dark tone. But, yeah, just like you said, I think Raylene knew that, like, when you asked earlier, like, why didn't she just kill her?
Yeah.
Because Raylene is is about so much more than that. That's just too easy.
Yeah.
Especially when she feels like she's personally been wronged. So it's much more in her character for her to punish her in the way that's going to hurt her the most by taking her family.
Yeah.
Especially being able to do it and record it in a way that she can replay it over and over again in her VR prison, which she specializes in. It's just kind of...
And I always talk a little bit about the show because this show, to me, more than other shows, gives you payoffs. And I always talk about that, in particular with this one. But for me, with Raylene, there was always some idea of redemption for me where I always felt, okay, I still want her and her brother to make nice, you know? But uh-huh. Once she takes that step, it's beyond. And I think that kind of makes the turning point where you want to see how does she get her kind of comeuppance.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know if I remember feeling that my first time watching, but definitely after finishing and during the rewatch, like, she's just a total evil person,
yeah,
in my opinion, so it's hard to...
To, like, find to how could she back. Come yeah. back. Because yeah, to no, the very end, no... even Takeshi is trying to save her to the very end.
Yeah, you know? But I think he knows. I think he knew.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he infected her backups with Rollins, not just, like, yeah, part of it was to, like, give her, you know, you have one chance, but also because I think he knew that she was not going to give up and that yeah. the only way to stop her was to end her, and that's what he had to do. And I think that's part of the reason why he felt so guilty in the end, because it wasn't like a self-defense, like she was going to kill him and he had to kill her kind of thing. It's like he went up there with the intention of... knowing that he probably was going to have to kill her.
Yeah, and I guess fine in believing that maybe they would both die.
Right.
But yeah, that was a tough scene. But yeah, it certainly this ghost walk scene certainly marked the end of redemption for Raylene.
Yeah.
We also got so now we got a little bit more backstory, and we find out about Mary Lou Henshey and about the religious recoding. Raylene controls so much in this world. It's like, what does she not control? What did you think about...
Well, it's not that she controls that much. It's that she found a very niche market that she has complete control over, and that allows her to exert control and blackmail other people, which, because she doesn't have the power that Bancroft has. She doesn't have the money that Bancroft has.
But you think, but it's like between running the Way Clinic and the head of the Clouds, it's like she literally has every person's secrets, you know? She's like the Heidi
Fleiss.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's that business that allows her to manipulate and extort other people for sure, but other people who are more powerful than her. It's a very smart way to manipulate people to get what you want, but in terms of tiers, she was always below Bancroft. So that's part of the reason why she needed to manipulate him to get what she wanted.
Yeah, to get this, to get what she wanted was to defeat this whole 653, which,
right.
For me, it kind of came up out of the blue. They really didn't develop much about 653 for me.
They talked about it a lot in the beginning. That's what the pamphlet was about, and she talks about the religious coding. Like, they touch it.
Yeah, I thought they touched it so... I mean, for me, they did not develop it enough for what it became. Because ultimately, that was, like, the driving thing. For that kind of set all of this off. That's why she had to kick all of this off. And I don't think they touched on it enough for me in the beginning episode for me to think of that as a thing that would have needed to be...
Really?
Yeah. I
rewatching it, I thought they were like, 653, religious coding. If we could just spin her back up, 653, Mary Lou Henshey, what happened? Religious coding, spin her back up. I felt like they said it a lot.
Really? I don't know. For some reason, for me, it just dropped out, and then it was like... And then and the numbers themselves, 653. I remember we talked about religious coding for a while, but for me, I thought, I don't know, I missed that development of that fight, and I wish I would have seen more of that, that it was sort of like a government issue, and that these were things that people were like...
I mean, it's a big thing in the pilot. When Ortega and them are in the car, and they're riding to Bancroft's, they are talking about it, and he looks through like a pamphlet that has like pictures of people and stuff. So they... From episode one, they do make an effort to talk about it, but I can see why you might...
Totally,
especially... You don't really hear about it after, like, episode 4 or 5.
Yeah, and so...
You hear... They talk a little bit about religious coding stuff, but not really about 653.
And then, I was like, wait, was 653 a bill? What was it? You know, I had to kind of go back and say, what was this? Because I didn't remember what they were referencing exactly when they said 653.
Yeah.
But I wish I would have seen a little bit more of that fight, though we got a lot of it in some flashbacks. I love the fight that they showed us when the envoys were initially kind of pushing back against this thing. But that's what I remembered from it, was like that initial, you know, back and forth fight.
Well, that's not, the envoys are not related to 653.
No, I'm saying I remembered the whole fight about religiously, whether or
you're tying it back to back then. Yeah,
yeah, they really highlighted that that was what divided the people that were for it and against it.
Right. Well, it's the same thing. It's just the argument has changed from no DHF because it's already happened, they can't stop that, to no spinning back up once you die in your natural sleeve.
Yeah. And,
your birth sleeve.
And, of course, Raylene has figured out a way. and then we get, you know, I like that the new Kovacs. And here's one of the reasons I believed that we're not getting the full truth about which Kovacs returned. Because they were picking which Kovacs was going to go to the head of the clouds, but to Miriam's little island palace. And ultimately, he decided that the other guy should go because, you know, he never had sex before, technically. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But they had also played rock, paper, scissors for that decision.
Mm-hmm.
But he ultimately decided the other guy should go.
They played rock, paper, scissors for who gets to make the decision.
Oh, who gets to make the decision?
Yeah.
Okay, I totally missed that part.
Yeah, they said, I won the right to choose who gets to go, and he had never had sex, so it made sense. Okay. That's what he says.
Because when I looked back at the end of when they were playing Rock, Paper, Scissors, the original Kovacs, he's got that one tear down his eye. And I was wondering for me if that one tear was him giving up and saying, you know, I don't feel like living anymore, I'm going to let this guy take over. Did you had that feeling at all? I guess not.
No, actually, that tear for me was related to he says, I have it here. He says, could you tell? And to me, that question was about Ray talking about Kel, of her stack being intact or not, and the question was, could you tell if she was lying or telling the truth? Mm-hmm. He says he looked her in the eyes, but it's still kind of like, I can't tell if he thinks he was lying or not, and I think that's why he was crying, because he was thinking, I think he thinks it's real, obviously, as we, you know, get with the story and stuff, that he's going to go out and look for her, because she thinks she's out there. So I think that's what that
quite an interesting take. I thought that was him deciding that this life wasn't for him, and you know, he's gonna let the other guy take over.
No, I don't think so. The thing is, like,
well, for me, I just believe. I thought after
when he says the other guy, like when he says like, oh, he's never had sex. Like, it's not like he's never had sex. It's still him. It's just in that sleeve. He's never had sex. It's not like it's a new personality that, like, he still has all of old Talk's memories. They're all essentially this. They're essentially the same person.
But even for original Talk, he still doesn't believe they're the same person. You know, he still has a cognitive dissonance, I guess, that even though we're the same, you still actually haven't experienced this as you. Like, I'm the one that's gone through this so far.
Right.
And so that's why I believe that at the end he made that choice. But
right. I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
Really?
We'll get to predictions later, but I think it'll matter for season 2. I think they'll make a point of it for season 2. Because the way they brought it up, they did it in a way it's like, we're going to come back to this. But we'll see.
I don't think so. No, I think the one who went on the sex vacation did his time and paid the price. Yeah, and Talk's just gonna go on.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
And then I guess we got episode 10. We get badass Ortega, which I kind of really like, because we see Ortega. She gets so angry, and she gets these moments where she's sort of almost unleashed, but we don't find, like, she always seems defeated in some way. But finally, we get Ortega fully unleashed. I got glimpses of Sigourney Weaver from Alien.
Right. Well, first let's get back and talk about we started talking about the split, the double sleeves, mm-hmm. but we didn't really get to talk about the plan. And what and that stuff was going to happen with them sneaking into
Vernon
the clouds.
And Poe, yeah.
Right. So, you know, Talk meets up with Vernon and Ava and is basically like, you guys got to leave town, pack your stuff, get Lizzie and get out. It's not safe. I'm going to go after my sister.
Yeah.
And tells Poe not to let anybody in his room. And I just love Vernon kicking the door down and Poe being like, well, you said not to let him in and I didn't let him in. like he's all right. But we get this awesome scene of them being like, look, you're trying to do all this stuff. They find out his plan to infiltrate Head in the Clouds. And I just love Vernon telling them, like, you can't do this on your own. And Ava's like, yeah, you need me to hack this. And, like, it's just this awesome power of friendship moment, which is cool because twofolds, like, part of what he says is true about the envoy thing, about them using friends and assimilating into places. Right,
literally said, build a tribe.
Right. You know? But then also, like, that doesn't necessarily have to be a negative thing. You don't have to use people. They can actually be your friends. And them, the fact that we've already seen Tok stick his neck out for Lizzie and other things mm-hmm. and to, like, help them out, seeing them want to repay it, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, at least with when it comes to Lizzie, someone he did stick his head out for is almost, like, now able to protect him and help, you know, help
the whole crew. She saves the day, basically. Yeah, but so they come up with their plan to disguise Vernon as this...
wealthy gentleman in Head of the Clouds.
General, yeah. And then they got to sneak up there.
And that was an interesting scene, I guess, between him and the horrors that happened at Head in the Clouds.
Yeah, that, for me, was a big gut punch because I kind of knew that, like, they talked a little bit about the beating and, like, that stuff. But, like, you know, when she says, he cut holes in me and fuck me in them, like, wow, that is just disgusting. That people would, like... That's just crazy.
And then they offer him the child and like...
Right, yeah. But then when they're talking and she's like, oh no, it's okay, you know, they'll get me a new body. And then he's like, well, have you met any other girls who have been re-sleeved? And she can't? Like, dude, that's so messed up. Like, these girls are going in there thinking it's okay. Like, when she's like begging him, like, no, please, if you don't kill me, they'll fire me. But it makes my skin crawl.
But here's the thing. Even if they do get new sleeves... Did it still make your skin crawl?
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 That's not. I mean, it's still. I'm. It's. Not to put levels on bad stuff.
Yeah.
It's not as bad if it is in some weird way consensual, and the person, I guess, is still alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's
weird, but this is a weird discussion that this show brings about, but. Especially with them thinking they're coming back and they're not really, like, that's fucked. Like,
yeah,
and, excuse my language, and, but that's just, like, and that's so awful.
And even the whole idea of initially...
And this is his sister is running.
Yeah, and initially the young girl had to assure him that she wasn't really some old lady in a young person's body.
Oh,
and so you just, so many issues.
I know. And then the kid thing, man, like, seeing Vernon, like...
Oh yeah,
just hold himself, and then in the end, when he finally snaps, like, what do you want to do?
He was the audience.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great to have someone also react the same way that we would react.
Yeah. Plus, Takashi taking the Reaper to lower his heart rate so he doesn't set off the heat sensors was like badass.
And what another great fight scene. We got a lot of great action scenes in this one. In both episodes, they really gave us those nice payoffs.
It's a great callback to the fight in the cage when he gets hit with Reaper.
Yeah.
And like Ortega goes down instantly, but he's able to like fight it a little bit. Again, we see this callback to him because of the envoy
science magic
just muscling through it.
But we get now, I guess, and then Ortega's in the VR. She's stuck in the VR.
Right. So he gets up, he gets in there and finds Ortega stuck in the VR, and he throws the transmitter thing to interrupt Raylene's transfer.
Yeah.
And to infect her with Rollins.
And of course, Ava does her job and does the.
Right.
Does the
thing. Which was scary for a moment when the whole thing shuts down. I was like, oh no. Shit, now what? No, I'm like, there's only 10 episodes. What's going to happen?
I was like, what's left?
Yeah. And then she's like, nah, I got it.
Yeah. And of course, but they can't let Ortega out because they don't want to set off these alarms. And we kind of open up now in 10 with. It was kind of that one episode where it was just sort of like all into one into each other.
Yeah, and right. So the last part of the plan is for him to get up there with the camera that they put in his eye and tape a confession. So we get the almost full confession of what happens. What did you think now that you have the full story?
I thought that the full story was brilliant because it did fit together so well. And it was also sort of haphazard. It wasn't too well. So in terms of the writing of the show, I like that they wrote out the reality of what took place. I thought it was perfect. The manipulations were great. And each person had their own motivation, but that somehow were able to weave together.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really interesting examination of human behavior and like how this situation would play out.
Yeah.
And I think as far as like murder crime drama stories, I think it's like almost like a classic noir, people getting exploited, people with power covering things up, kind of thing. And to throw it in this sci-fi setting the way that they did with clones and all this stuff, I think was really excellent writing. And especially in this episode, the way it comes together, like I said last week, especially once you see Mary Lou Henchy jumping off heads in clouds in that flash, like everything you need is there. It's just like, it's so hard to put the pieces together if you don't know, because like there's just so many pieces.
Exactly. And it's like, how could you possibly know? But they fit together perfectly, but in a way that's really, I think, believable, even in this world. You know?
So she starts with the confession and basically says that she knows Bancroft liked to choke girls, knows that she was mad about the Osaka thing, and basically says that she knew it wouldn't take much to push him over the edge to get him to kill a girl, which is something that she could handle easily because of the religious coding. So she gets...
But it was really all kind of kicked off with Miriam having to owe her one. Because that allowed
her... We don't know about that yet, but yeah.
But that allowed her to get in,
right?
Yeah. So I thought it was pretty interesting, and then so we get this whole confession from Raylene, just the ins and outs and the intricacies, and of course it just gets darker and darker and darker, and episode 10 opens in on this darkness. But I do have to say, sometimes we need a break from the darkness. So if you want to have fun, learn and grow in all areas of your life. For those who do, have we got the podcast for you. So if you need a break between Altered Carbon just to unplug from some of the dark stuff, Conversations with Marie Menounos, podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. Can't go wrong with that. From health and wellness, I'm a big fan, to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us that sent you there.
Please.
The Altered Carbon Crew. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, check it out. Well, awesome, Marie Menounos. Love her. She's amazing. She's the reason we're able to do what it is that we do here.
Yeah, lots of great interviews.
Yeah, so definitely go and support that conversation with Marie Menounos. But let's get back to some conversations about Altered Carbon. We finished up with this epic confession by Raylene, which is going to be eventually broadcast to the world.
Right.
Any more from that confession that intrigued you?
Just her specifically talking about why she needed Bancroft and him manipulating the UN vote, and like just that scene of her talking about him, like where he's like having sex with the one girl and he just smashes her stack in front of him, and then she just like chases her out as she tries to run away, was just like terrifying to watch.
But were you at all feeling like this episode, it had to humanize him for you? At least it humanized him for me, because we find out that he does have this sort of conscience.
I mean, yes and no. It's a blurry line, because depending on how consensual the activities he has of him, like, wanting to beat women, like, I think it's wrong.
Yeah.
But as long as he's not just, like, out hitting women randomly.
But he had a moral code. I think...
He'll beat the crap out of girls, but he won't RD them, and that makes it okay?
Because in this world, there is no death, really. And so he had a moral code. For me, Raylene's got no moral code. There's no... The only thing that she wants is her brother, but there's no moral drive that.
But it's not like he killed himself, like, actually killed himself to, like, get justice and like get away from the pain. He killed himself just to forget and move on and like.
But to forget because he was so racked by guilt.
I mean, sure, but yeah. He wasn't so racked by guilt to like turn himself in, or like he was so racked by guilt. He like guilt that he didn't want to deal with. It's not like he's a man of morals that was like, no, I have to do what's right.
I
he was like, no, I'd rather just forget about this and then just go on with my happy, blissful life.
I give Bancroft when I say a little bit of credit. I say a little bit of credit insofar as the way I perceived him when we first began the show. Because he was the big bad...
Yeah, he's not a super evil...
He was the big bad thing in the room when the show began, where you were like, oh, he's got some... It turns out it's Raylene. And so, for me, knowing that, A, he wasn't the whole maniacal guy pulling all the strings, and then B, that like he felt so bad as to take his life, that I saw some humanity there. I saw someone who had lost their way, but not someone so deliberate like Raylene.
Yeah.
And I felt like I got it from him and I didn't get it from Miriam. I feel like Miriam's a lot more sincere than he is. But we did have a beautiful moment kind of between those two acknowledging the destruction of
yeah.
of this relationship.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Bancroft's not quite so innocent.
You're not. Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, yeah. He didn't... It took poison, you know, to push him over the edge to kill. But... I still don't think he's super innocent.
But he did have his redemptive moment towards the end. Do you like that redemptive moment from him?
With
the
Lizzie
son saying, I should have given this...
Oh, yeah. I like that.
And with Lizzie, too, because you saw the emotion.
I liked with Miriam the honesty of, like, look at what we've become. Yeah. I mean, I respect him, but I don't know. I just still think he's a pretty bad dude.
Yeah.
He's a good guy for a meth.
And we did see you almost, at least for me, the emotion I got from him and Lizzie towards the end. You almost wanted to see how that came about, how it played out, because he did seem genuinely concerned for Lizzie.
Well, I mean, I think that he was in love with Lizzie. They were having, you know, some type of affair, and he got her pregnant, and that's why Miriam snapped. So
yeah,
that's another thing that's like just such crazy good writing. You have this character Lizzie who again seemed like just some extra thing, and even with the way they worked her in, it's like, all right, cool, she matters. But then even more, she's part of the whole reason why this whole story happened to begin
without
with.
Her this doesn't go.
None of this happens. So
awesome writing for these guys. And then we get some... Just we got to go back to some of these epic fight scenes. I guess when Lizzie sees the prisoners and she sees her father. What do you like about that fight scene?
I thought it was great. It was cool seeing her move around with the choreography and just
even coming to Head of the Clouds.
Yeah. She just wrecks stuff.
And we had that, I guess, uncomfortable scene where she's not looking like Lizzie. She looks like one of the silicone dolls.
That's
like a hybrid.
She kills the guard who's trying to fuck her. And then she kills the other guy upstairs who's like, I got this floor with this dick just hanging out.
But is rape in this world?
Yes.
When in a world of just sleep?
Yes.
In a world of silicone sleeps?
Yes.
Okay.
Non-consensual sex is non-consensual.
And the reason I ask is the way...
Even with it not being Lizzie, if it was the technician that he thought it was, he's coercing her to have sex with him. Even if it was a dude, he's forcing someone...
No, I agree, but...
Right.
The way he delivered the line, it seemed as if we were in a world that wasn't as valid anymore because the bodies themselves were disposable.
I'm sure it was some people... I mean... He might be biased though also because he works at Head in the Clouds.
Yeah,
so
all he sees is like people that are like
right,
not really.
He may not be the best example of what is like culturally
in this
acceptable.
World.
Right. You wouldn't ask the guy at the strip club, like who works at the strip club all day, what is socially acceptable.
And even with the 6-5-3 stuff, like parts of this show reveal more and more of this world and more of the thinking of the world. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's what I'm really looking forward to next season, is getting more of that, like a lot of these things we're debating, is rape or is murder. I hope to get more of what the world views in Altered Carbon.
We'll talk about predictions later. Well, actually, soon.
Yeah, not that much later. We did get... obviously, we got the great fight scene between Ortega and the Ghost Walker.
Yeah.
for me, that was just a wonderful scene where I wanted to see him. I wanted to see her kill him over and over and over in different ways. What do you like? What do you think about?
Yeah,
this scene?
I thought it was great. I thought it was a nice match of different styles and her throwing her power around versus his, you know, unique way of fighting. I like the way it finished. I thought it was shot really well. There's this particular shot where he's like slamming her head into a wall, and the camera like follows the motions, and it really adds weight to the impact. But I think it was good. The choreography was exceptionally done. There was lots of great wide tracking shots that you see the full movement, so no like fancy cuts or anything. And there's another, even like it's a brief fight before she gets locked out of the room, but where she comes in and starts fighting with Rey, even like, wow, like it was just exceptional. And then of course the fight with Rey and Tak, with the swords.
But I loved Ortega when she just snaps his ankle, and I'm like, getting used to this arm.
Like, thinking with it,
you could have been doing this earlier.
Exactly, yeah. She's got to adapt.
And so she's adapting well and just in the nick of time. So of course we have this epic fight scene between Rey and Tak, and some truths are revealed. Some truths you don't seem to necessarily believe are true.
I don't. I think she's lying.
You think she's lying about Kylo?
I think it was a last ditch effort to save herself.
So even though we have, I guess that mirage of a person saying the reason you keep seeing me is because I am out there,
which is his subconscious, which he has said that she's not real, that it's his subconscious. So he has his subconscious telling him that he's right,
but he believes it's his subconscious
because it's himself.
He believes it because what else could you believe?
There's
unless there's some
what.
This is altered carbon, man.
Yeah, but there hasn't been any mind projection stuff yet, so we can't start making stuff up.
I don't know, because I thought and she tells, or she, well, I guess it's his subconscious tells him that story, if you go that way, but, or is it something ringing beyond? And I think maybe that part of, well, and that might be part of the world that we're in, is what is beyond? If you're just if you're in the stack and you're laying somewhere, are you actually dead, or is there some life? Is that, you know, is there a spirit world?
Shout out to Marvin Richardson in the chat. I agree with you. I think the music on the show from start to finish has been great. A lot of the fight scene music is awesome. Yeah. A lot of the great emotional scenes are awesome.
And the music we played at the top of the show is actually by Renee Goldsberry, right, who plays Kel Falconer, called Ain't No Grave. Beautiful voice. I had no idea she could also sing. So, but thank you, Marvin, for joining us at this late hour. We appreciate it.
So let's let's just round up the end, and then we can talk about what we think.
Yeah,
is gonna happen.
Yeah, I think we covered a lot of it. Just we have that final scene, and I guess Miriam finally gets carted away. What did you think about Miriam finally paying for her sins?
I mean, I think we all kind of knew that she was involved.
Yeah.
So it was nice to figure out exactly why, and again, get more information on the full thing, get more about Lizzie, and get that, because even though we got the answers to everything else, that question was still there, and I wasn't sure if that was going to be saved for another season or if they were going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
And I liked that they did wrap it up.
And with the way Miriam was so, at the very beginning of this entire season, so very clearly involved, one wonders if just a good sit down in a one-on-one police interrogation room might have just let it all out, because she seems so,
you also have to remember that part of why he wanted an envoy and he wanted Takashi was that, I mean, they own the cops as meths. They're so above that stuff that he needed something different, somebody who really had authority.
But what an excellent season. What are your predictions? We'll go to that.
Should we talk about where everybody ends up?
Let's
so Ava, do it all. Ava gets her old body back.
Yeah,
Tak pays for it. And Ava, the Elliot family is together.
Yeah.
Lizzie stays in her synth body.
Yeah.
Because she says she doesn't know if she's human or not anymore.
Which I think will be something that tracks I think will be something we'll talk about next season.
I don't think so. I think we're done with. I think.
Well, yeah. What are your predictions for next?
So I think we're gonna go off planet. We're gonna see him in another body in another world. I don't think we're gonna see any of the other characters.
And you've got to give back the body. So yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I don't think we're gonna see Ortega anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think we're gonna see Lizzie. I don't think we're gonna see any of that stuff. I think we're. Really? Yeah. I think that's all. I think he might go out searching for Kel, who I don't think is out there for the record, but he might, because he believes that he might go out there and he may run into some other, I guess I'm not the only envoy or whatever ends up coming down the line. I have no idea what's coming, but I feel very strongly with the way that they took time and care to wrap up every loose end and have everything matter. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was a setup for more to come. I think it was a nice bow tie on the end of things.
Yeah.
And I think the points lead to him leaving, to being like, I'm done here. I'm needle casting off as soon as I get out. I turn this body in and I'm going to another planet. I'm sure he's gonna like try to live a quiet life or something and then get dragged into helping some beautiful woman who gets naked a lot.
So I'm gonna say My initial thought is we might not see Ortega again just because of the way the storyline ends. You know, she's going to get Riker back.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's quite the possibility, obviously, Joel Kinnaman's willing. I think they might bring those two characters back as part of that crew for the new Takeshi. But definitely I see Ortega at least making an appearance next season. I think Lizzie is going to be what paves the way for next season. In the power of these new bodies that apparently she can just sort of blink and be someone else. So I think that's...
Well, they talk about morph synths. Yeah. Even the guy Carnage that we see earlier, he talks about how he can change the way his face looks like, anything he
wants.
And
so I think that's going to play very heavily into season two. And I think we're going to resolve which Takeshi we have, whether it was the original or... Because I'm almost 1,000% certain... This Takeshi,
but your evidence is based on the idea that he's lying to her, right?
He said the one you said goodbye to, and to me that can mean any number of things.
What do you mean? It means the one that she said goodbye when she left the ship,
and I think that was just the one. Like all you need to know is I'm the one you said goodbye to. Whether or not
didn't say goodbye to the other one,
I think there was something there for me that.
She didn't.
Sometimes you gather something from a piece of what you're watching, and you take something from it.
And you just make stuff up.
Between the tear that I saw, I guarantee you,
the tear was about Kel. Here's
how they're going to resolve it. They're going to tell you. I think it's going to end up being resolved with Takeshi deciding that killing his sister was too much for him to bear, and that's why he decided to choose the other guy. Goes on, and that's why he had that tear, because he realized even though Kel was out there, he wasn't the one to go find her.
He even says in the conversation that she wasn't there anymore. She wasn't human. It wasn't her. And he says that I think she knew that this is the only way it could go.
Wait, what do you mean, Ray?
Yeah, when the two Kovacs are talking to each other, and he's telling the other one about what happened.
Yeah.
And he's talking about looking her in the eyes.
Yeah.
And he's like, she wasn't there anymore. She's a monster. She wasn't the same. He wasn't my sister.
Yeah.
Right. And he says that she knew that too. So I don't think he is like so crushed about killing his sister, because I think he felt like he didn't kill his sister. He killed the monster that his sister became.
Oh no, he was crushed. You saw how he cradled her and the thing fell. No, he was crushed.
I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't crushed, but I don't think crushed to the point of where I was like, okay, I need to die.
I think that was his only, for me, I think that was his only anchor that he had. And, you know, that moment where he calls her with Ray Chan, and she's like, all those rejections, and then having to take her life when he felt he failed her. So I think he ultimately blamed himself. So it was like, I failed you, you became this thing, and now I have to kill you, so I'm like still failing you again. And I think that's going to be the root of why he decided the other guy should live. And I think we'll see that next season. But we'll see.
Okay. We'll see.
But I don't know. It was a great season all in all. I guess we're going to try to not binge it too hard, I guess, when it comes out next time.
So watch kinda, one scene.
One scene. But yeah, I guess we'll be back hopefully for season two. We have no confirmation yet.
No idea.
But I don't know. It's been tracking well online, so hopefully.
It's kind of a slow starter, but I think people are starting to... to hook on. I think it's just it's taken some people to get through it because it's so heavy. It's not a good binge show, to be honest, because
the first two episodes for me, I remember having to kind of like
go back and rewatch, and it's like, let me just stick with it.
But by three and four, I was hooked.
So. Yeah, three and four, I think, are really the good hook episodes. But I think some more people are starting to finish it and hopefully tell their friends, go check it out.
Yeah, because I want to see season two. Got to see if these.
If you're watching right now, please tell your friends to check it out if you enjoyed it.
Marvin says, I want the original Kovacs. Oh, so I think Marvin's on your side here. But we'll have to see what happens next season. But thank you. And then
when you're wrong, it's okay. I'll...
Well, I feel like I've been right.
I know. So and I feel like if I was you, I would think I was right too. So I see your logic. It's not completely crazy. It's possible.
Yeah, because
it's definitely possible. I don't think it's likely.
From a writing standpoint, what's more interesting, right?
Right.
To me, it's way more interesting that this is the new Kovac and the other one just couldn't bear to go on.
I think the reason why I don't think it's going to happen is I have an idea of I haven't read the books, but I know of the books, and I have an idea of what the next plot would be and what would happen. Mm. And I think a lot of that hinges on it changing in location and almost just like completely shifting direction to the point of where the Kovac that stayed alive, like that answer is almost irrelevant to the Kovac that we're going to see in the next story. I think. Because he could go into hiding for another
100 years.
200 years. Yeah. And then somebody finds him accidentally or he stumbles into something and now we've got another chapter in the story.
Yeah. And so that would give me a different view of the series.
Right. Because at that point, what is the difference in those, you know, 25 hours of memory difference between the entirety of the lifespan that is the same as the other Kovacs.
Yeah.
Right?
Interesting. I like that take, though, that we could be jumped into some completely
You got to remember, universe, it's based on a sci-fi novel, so
yeah,
it could go anywhere.
Very
and remember, there's planets and other stuff he could be in. Remember, that's not even his home world.
Yeah, and that's another part that they haven't fleshed out yet. Like, how big is this universe that we're in?
I'm hoping we get to see another environment. I want to see some in space stuff. Is what I want to see, a space station or something like that.
Because I was wondering, even if Kel is still out there, how feasible is it that you'll be able to find her? But I think they may also do where he tracks the sister's movements the past 250 years, and that's how he kind of like finds Kel. But I do think we're gonna get Kel back. And so
I know you do.
I've been saying that since day one.
You love Kel,
and
I'm not a fan.
I was momentarily I could do really what yeah.
She's. I think she's a lame character.
What?
She's just like, oh, I'm super smart, and I invented stacks. By the way, I also am a super trained ninja. Also, too. By the way, the stuff I created is bad. Let's go destroy it. It didn't work.
And guess what?
All my other envoys are dead. It's just the two that I recruited, the brother and the sister that I'm in love with. Oh no, I'm trapped. I'm dead. No, now I'm gonna haunt you in your dreams forever.
And guess what?
Nah.
That's why you're gonna get her back, because this show always pays you off. And if there's one thing we should have learned by now, is that this show finds a way to pay you off.
I think she's been paid off already.
I think we're gonna get Kel, and I think we need to see her. So I'm excited for season two, because I'm certain we will see her in the flesh.
I'm excited to do another after show for season two with
you. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So guys, we just want to thank you guys for joining us again. My name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong. Wednesdays I host a show called Fit Club. Tune in at 6 o'clock.
Oh, hey guys, Nate Miller here. I do a couple other shows. If you watch Silicon Valley, you can check out the after show for that. I'm doing that every week. I'm also doing Bar Rescue now on Mondays. We usually do about 2 o'clock. And also, if you're a gamer, check me out on Inventory Full. That's on Twitch. Every Monday, we do our gaming culture show. We talk about the news, whatever's going on. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Please hit me up on Twitter. It's at DogLikeNate. It's also the same Instagram. And thanks for tuning in.
See you guys next season.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.